Crows have been doing a good job at bringing teams, like defending teams well enough that they're holding them back a bit. Which, mate,
dragging them down.
No, I don't want to say dragging them down.
Eva, you're making other teams shit.
This is The Bump, the one podcast SA footy fans need to hear, where the biggest names tackle the biggest South Australian footy stories. Roo, Limo, Dits, Bernie, Jars, Triple M's The Bump.
Oh, we've got a rookie this week as well, a young lad from Port Adelaide called Brad Ebert. How are you, Ebo?
I'm good, mate. How are you?
Yeah, good. About time I had another Port bloke here.
I thought it was starting to become a bit the crow
one-sided.
Show.
One-sided.
Yeah.
One-sided.
We need
ridiculous.
A few Port people because there's some big questions to ask about that.
Hang on. We'll get to that, mate. Speaking of the Crows, Bernie can't decide whether he's a crow or a... But I think he's definitely a demon now. They've got nine and zip. He's nine a demon.
You're looking on the ladder and that's who he's going
how are you,
for, Bern?
Surely.
Oh, good. I've been a demon since about round five when the Crows started. And I remember when you said no Bernie, no demons. Yeah, that's what happened to that?
Well, when I retired, Roo went from a prelim to 17th. What do you do the maths?
Roo's very excited. Bern, Roo's very excited. His boyfriend's in town this week. They'll go out for dinner. They'll have a little cuddle, him and Goody.
I'm going to get him hammered.
He misses him.
Friday night.
Yeah. All right, there's plenty to talk about. Port Adelaide flat track bullies. Ken Hinckley's hit back and said, very disrespectful. We'll get Ebo's take on that.
Very disrespectful.
The Crows, very. A for effort, we're told, Ebo. They're singing the club song after losses.
That's
now.
That's what it felt like, didn't
it? I know.
It's funny how it works, isn't it?
Yeah, anyway. It certainly is. The SRNFL state game, that was a good effort. We'll ask Roo about Tyson Stengel. Could he get picked up? Damien Hardwick, not happy about travelling one extra train stop down the road to have to play away at the Marvel Stadium. How ridiculous. Sam McClure has reported that Bucks could re-sign with Collingwood very, very soon. So plenty to talk about in the world of AFL.
Where are we starting, Dits?
Let's start with Port Adelaide. Ebo, flat track bullies. That's what we're hearing.
Wow. Yeah. Mm. Look, at the moment, they've obviously lost to three key sides.
Yep.
So it hasn't been good in terms of... staying to that sort of flat track bully call. But look, mate, I still think it's round, what is it, round eight we've played? Into round nine. I still think that there's so much room for improvement. There's so much area where we're sort of talking, we've got to make bold statements about this sort of stuff, but they're still working on things. And I'll certainly see the second half of the year is probably where they're going to build.
Have they got the personnel, though? Are they good enough? When the whips are cracking, say if they got their best side on the park,
yes.
Is it good enough?
Yes, yeah. Definitely.
Where are the deficiencies? You talked about in the call on the weekend, Brad, that they were maybe too tall up front. Are there deficiencies?
The way I sort of saw that, I think Dom sort of made mention around the too tall. I think it's just the way they're playing with those tools, because Mitch Georgiadis and Toddy Marshall can still be that sort of in-between Tom Lynch sort of style. They just, one of them had to actually play it a little bit more prominently on the weekend than what has had been seen. So I still see that the way that they've got it structured, rather than, it just felt like time after time they'll just go on these big long bombs into Dicko, who's standing there trying to muscle out three or four players. I just felt like the method in the way that they were trying to move the ball needed to be improved. The way that they've sort of structured with the three tools.
Wind it up, Ebo.
Oh,
you got smashed around the footy.
Sorry. I've had at least 8 weeks of Crows. I've finally got
someone to dissect it, and I've just got thrown under the paint.
Any chance Dixon kick a goal against the top side?
Sorry, the team for all South
Oh, sorry, guys, I've got too serious
here. We're only allowed 3 minutes.
Is there any chance he can kick a goal? Against the top
part of the
let's get on to the Crows'
part
noble
the
Crows' noble effort, wasn't that? Jeez, wasn't that
great? Should we talk about the team? Should we talk about the team that's 15th, shall we?
Does Charlie Dixon have to be a foot taller than his opponent to kick a goal or what?
Telling me he's our most important player.
And a Port Adelaide supporter wanted me to ask you, got photos of Todd Marshall?
Are you the one that's just made that up or what?
No, I would not ask that because I think he's got plenty of ability.
He's got plenty of ability. At the moment, there's those moments in games. I think they talked about contests and all that sort of stuff. There was, forwards were probably getting moved under the ball a little bit too easily and boys were getting beaten around the contest too easy. So anyway, now I've gone back to serious talk again.
Start
taking the piss again.
No, that's a good serious point. When they've played those better teams, they've been smashed around the footy, Dits, and that's the concern. When tested, it's not a plan B, but there's no response, and that's I reckon
at least
that's concerning.
On the weekend.
Yeah, well, they did the after quarter. That first quarter. But the starts as well in those big games, their starts have been, all three of them have been terrible. So.
They have been ugly because they haven't been able to just, like, yes, you can cop a couple goals. They haven't been able to weather the storm.
No, it's been so six goals before they can sort of get a stop on it. So that's a concern. And you can't be doing that in finals, which you're going to be playing good teams in finals. If they think they're going to go anywhere, you can't be giving up starts.
With this forward structure, I know there are so many coaches in the modern game and so many different tactics and things, but if the opposition defence is so Charlie focused, aren't there ways to free up Georgiartis and Marshall and maybe Rosie?
Well,
and
this probably goes back to the method up the ground a little bit more as well, you know, and that's where I guess they've really tried to play that fast play, kick long to a contest, get the numbers at the front and then play off it. When teams have been able to restrict that, they've got that slide from the weak side and all that sort of stuff. So yeah, obviously that's probably what I've been talking about, is trying to use that smaller, shorter option to then
break
up. Well,
you've got plenty of
bit.
Them.
Oh, mate, you got, well, that's it. Butters and Dersma are out, yes.
So who's
but there's
not
so many
doing
other
it
players.
In the midfield? You got a good midfield.
Yeah, there are.
Wine's in good form.
Boak's in career best form. Amon's in career best form.
I actually like the look of Willem Drew as well.
Yeah, he's been good.
I feel like, you know, when you're looking at a young player.
Does he need to become your tagger? Do you need a tagger or don't you need a tagger?
No, I feel like the days of a lockaway tagger.
When a Bontempelli runs around like he does, you've got to have an opponent.
What they need?
Modern football, I'm sick of it. I'm telling you now. You can't let us
know. You two are going to win the flag now. I'm sick of it.
Name any other sport in the world.
Don't go writing them off.
Don't be pointing the finger at me,
Ditz. No, football is plain dumb. Any other sport in the world, if there's a bloke running around doing that, you do something about it. You don't keep saying, let him keep getting it.
Now, the way they adjusted to it on the weekend was that they just locked it down at stoppage and then let him go around that, which you think should have been able to nullify. Well, it did for a period. I thought that it did for enough of a period where I thought, all right, they've got him on the leash here, but
when you talk about your tactics all week, if you're coming up against Dusty Martin or Bontempelli or someone, if you
cost
have an attitude,
prelim final
we don't tag at this club. What a stupid thing!
That cost you premiership last year.
Not just saying that about Port Adelaide, by the way. I hope Ken and the team don't think I'm having a crack at them. It's every side in the comp.
Every club's gone down the path of it.
You have to look at how you're going to beat the opposition. That's one part of it.
Trust the process, mate. Team defense. Team defense.
That's garbage. That cost you premiership.
Who can do it at Port?
Not tagging Sam Dusty Powell-Pepper? Martin in the prelim. That cost you a premiership.
Sam Powell-Pepper do it? Would he be a good run with player?
Yeah, he's another one that can
attack. It's not a full tag, Ditz, either. It's just accountable to a player.
Why not a full tag?
Well, because then you lose a midfielder then. I know you're shutting down another one.
Shut down the most important.
Yeah, but you're accountable around. Yeah, I like the accountability run with role.
Well, you tagged the Dangerfield a couple of times a full.
Filthy he was.
And that's like...
Wasn't he dirty?
I heard the commentary and you were commentating and I'm dirty with you. Actually, I'm over to the Port side.
Bernie Vince trying to ruffle a few feathers. Love it. Oh! That's Vince on Dangerfield again. Was that not a free kick? Well, how three umpires didn't see that?
You bagged me all day about...
How good a job you did, because
no.
Yes, you did. You got three votes.
Oh, here they are, just stroking each other's ego again.
I'm back.
Tom Cleary's
I remember
out.
That Brownlow medal you won.
As a midfielder, you hate getting tagged.
There
so
you go.
I used to walk out there, if I didn't get tagged, I'd be 3 inches tall and ready to rip the game to bits. As soon as you get a tag coming at you, you're filthy and you're angry and it's so much harder. I don't know why they don't tag.
The whole team targets you, bumps into you, makes it hard for you.
Back in your day, it was a different type of footy, though.
Well, it was, but why don't you do it again?
It's just not working. It's just honestly, I
was doing it for periods in terms of not, and mine was really around accountability, and it's just being able to see the opponent at stoppage, make sure you impact, and then you're able to play off that, and you're still just close enough to them that you can impact when needed. So I feel like that's the way to do it in terms of that team approach.
Why is that better than shutting someone out of the game?
Well, because why then kill off my game just to kill off?
Well, you put a spud on a good player and you end up miles in front.
There you go.
You don't put an A grade like yourself on
Bontempelli will just take you forward. Dustin Martin takes you forward. Then you've got to cross over, you switch, and then what they do is once you've switched, they switch
change
back.
Opponents
and then
hard,
you're running around, you're going, what am I doing here? And then all of a sudden you're one short at the stoppage.
They go
and then
out to wing and you lose the
communication.
It's not as simple as what you think. I know, Stitch, you're probably thinking, you just follow him around everywhere, but...
Don't you think midfielders have been resting forward for years?
Yeah, but
that's why they don't have to have a midfielder to go with them down there.
So, exactly.
Who are you saying?
What's the point?
Drew's going to tag.
if he goes to Bontempelli and Bontempelli takes him to full four,
yeah, put someone else on him.
Yeah, but then you switch over. As soon as they switch, they go back, and then they're lost. Then
don't you think that's happened for the history
of
the game?
It does, mate.
But that's why we're saying we don't need the tag. That's what we're saying.
You need to tag him in the midfield.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Stay accountable at stoppage. And then as the game
but it's
plays,
it's not just
nowhere
about a stoppage.
The game unfolds.
That's about 5% of the game time.
Stoppage into next clearance and secondary sort of.
Now you're talking, so just but then stay with them the whole time.
It's unnecessary.
They lead you to the ball.
Okay, well, Bontempelli gets best on. How come all the midfielders are getting best on every week at the moment? Because no one goes near them.
Mm.
And you lose the game as a result.
Yeah, well.
Serious.
All right, no, look, fair on that point. It's unnecessary, though.
Right. Well, the coaches obviously think it's unnecessary.
So they're still not, right.
I'm not saying it's unnecessary.
Let's change tact. Yeah, all right. Go on. Is it still unnecessary then to stand people in the forward 50? How many goals am I seeing where the ball comes down and there was a classic game last year. Eddie Betts, I think, kicked 5 and
going over the back.
Each one of them, he didn't have an opponent. Mm. And then the crowd all leaving go, Eddie Betts is a genius. He's a brilliant player. He didn't have an opponent.
Mm.
Wouldn't you all like go back to
Roos?
That's
a bit of zone defense. A bit.
That's more around that zone defense.
How long until we stop doing things like that?
I think they have gone one on one now, haven't they?
Yeah, a little bit. But if we went back to that, I don't know. You're sort of talking back around 10, 15 years ago, and the game's adjusted since then. So
it's adjusted. There's times
when teams do play just man on man defense, and they get cut open in the same sort of way.
I've given you two examples where Bontempelli and Dusty Martin run rampant with no opponent. And the other example is you've got blokes inside 50 on their own kicking goals, and you reckon that's good footy?
No, but it's
that's a mistake. If someone's on their own, that's a mistake. Yeah. You've got to be standing someone. But how many goals do they save by playing that zone defence?
Because the way that it works is that, yes, on the strong side, you're pressing up with a weak side needing the slide and support. So if that's missing, then it looks like Eddie Betts has just waltzed into a free goal because of that lack of slide and the lack of support.
To tag or not to tag, it's an interesting discussion.
Now, Ken actually had a fair bit to say in his press conference. This is what he had to say about the performance.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.
he's got an accent.
Well, that sums it up.
Kenny.
No, that sums it up. Yeah. Actually, and in the same press conference, he was grilled even further.
You look at the season in whole. I think if you call us a flat track bull, you're being really disrespectful to the Bulldogs and, you know, to Brisbane particularly, who sit second and third on the ladder. We've been beaten by two very good sides.
And then the bump sent down our very own Limo to grill him.
Is that where he's been?
Yeah.
3 weeks he's been at the presses.
Hi, Ken. Ken, it's Limo.
Yes.
Thank you.
We're not
tough night for the team, but did you see that one of your fans was eating a box of dry Weet-Bix on the hill?
Yes, that's a positive, albeit we lost the game at the end.
Do you think he'll finish the box?
We'll wait and see.
Did you see him post-match? How did he look?
Yeah, I thought he was really strong. You know, he was better and stronger.
And generally speaking, what have you noticed about Weet-Bix eaters?
They've been able to be a bit stronger for longer.
Any advice for him if he starts to struggle with the dry Weet-Bix?
You have to continue to battle. If you don't accept your reality, you're probably not going to get where you need to go.
I mean, he's doing it without milk. It's amazing.
That's, again, part of the story.
I know he started eating the box with a mate in the first half, but is it true that his mate copped a Weet-Bix eating injury?
Just a whack right in the front of the face, which suspected he's got probably a broken jaw.
Are you confident you got accurate information about how big his box of Weet-Bix was?
Yeah, we got good, consistent information.
But not great information?
We got great information.
Oh, so it was great information?
Oh, I think it's a consistent information.
Okay, but you were happy with the information that you got?
It's consistent information, so we're really clear.
So with all the information that you have, when do you think he'll finish the box?
By the end of 2021, there's no doubt.
Hey, Cam, before I let you go, how many Weet-Bix do you eat?
8 and 1.
So that'd be 9?
6 and 3.
Yeah, that's definitely 9. Okay, thanks, Cam.
Where is he?
He's gone again.
He's gone to another press conference, has he?
God.
He's just following Kenny around, waiting outside his house.
Oh, good to have Limo every now and then.
All right, like Tom Cleary's out.
I like that you've moved it there.
Who comes in? Ebo? Is it McKenzie?
Trent McKenzie, yeah.
He's straight in?
Well, you'd think so.
All right.
Yeah, I just think it's a like for a like. He played well last year.
He was in front of Cleary for a fair while last year. Cleary got dropped a couple of times last year.
He did too. You're right. McKenzie's a good player.
Yeah, can't fit in your best and fairest last year.
Well, it's just funny how quickly it sort of changes, doesn't it? Because like last year, all season, he was the what, number one, number two? Sort of,
he stood Tom Hawkins in that, didn't he? Trent McKenzie.
He played bloody well.
Stood Hawkins, kept him to...
Yeah, I reckon he had one goal six or something that day, though.
That helped.
Could have been seven goals.
No, but he forced him really wide. I remember the game well. He had all his shots from the boundary, forced him wide, and... He was almost the number one pick, the defender.
It's not as if Collingwood have got much of a forward line either, just quietly, so don't panic too much about that.
Right, let's talk about the mighty Camry Crows, the team for all South Australians, sitting 15th.
Honourable loss.
15th on the ladder.
Honourable loss.
Wasn't that gallant? They went over the West.
Honourable loss.
Oh, good on them.
Draft picks.
No, he's calling that early.
Mm. Calling that very
could've
early.
Could have won that game.
Could you?
Did you watch it closely?
Yeah.
No, could have won.
I don't think Adelaide makes a massive difference. Yeah,
it does. Scoreboard pressure makes a huge difference.
Oh, it does. But West Coast at home, I think they were always going to run over top of Adelaide. They were a way better team.
It almost
felt like they are, but they didn't look like it. Crows
have been doing a good job at bringing teams, like defending teams, well enough that they're holding them back a bit. Which, mate...
Dragging them down.
No, I don't want to say dragging them down.
Eva, you're making other teams shit. Oh, Jesus.
Dragging them down to the gutter.
They're defending them well.
Defending them well. Bloody hell. Drag them down. There's the promo. Almighty.
Crows ball opposition.
Crows so shit that they have to bring other teams down to beat them. I hope people are listening to this the further.
I like it. Just wanted an honest analysis, I thought.
Yeah. But like I said, they're actually defending quite well. That's what the point was there.
Mm, okay.
Make sure you take the first grab, though.
Good on you.
Paul Seisman playing his best season.
I think he might be close to it.
No, he is. Yeah,
running with the ball and covering a bit of ground.
Yep.
You love metres gained, don't you?
Oh, I hate metres gained. That's the worst stat in the AFL, metres gained.
Well, that's someone put on our sheet here, I think. Yeah. He's had whatever metres gained. That's a load
third
of shit.
In the
doesn't
comp,
it just dumb it down for people that know that he runs and kicks it a long way?
No, not at all. All the guys that take the kickouts have all the metres gained.
Metres gained's got relevance at times. Mm. You know, yeah, like Bontempelli on the weekend had 570 metres gained as a mid. You sort of look at that and go, hang on, there's something to that. Mm. Whereas Paul Seedsman's on a wing, Brodie Smith on a halfback flank, they're getting metres gained. Are they then missing targets?
Yeah. I'd like to see metres gained where the team keeps the ball. If it goes into a contest, the opposition winner just gets champion data on the line for us.
They've got retained meters gained.
Yeah, retained meters gained. Look at that.
He's having a good year. Look at the stat sheet.
There's another stat that's worse. The mob that you work for. What's that pressure cooker thing?
Pressure rating.
What is that?
Just about how basically how much pressure they've got on the ball carrier.
On the weekend, you were 283, and West Coast were only 170.
Oh, they're winning the game,
and West Coast were winning. Funnily enough,
West Coast must
your
have the
pressure
footy.
Cooker was better.
That is a bizarre stat. Though,
it's a pressure rating on how basically how much time they've got when they get rid of the ball, how much pressure they're under.
Have they explained that though? Because the times I've watched, it just keeps popping up, and you're like, what the hell does this mean?
I just know the numbers. I don't really know what it means.
All right, I want to move on. Next topic, Tyson Stengel, has he done enough? Will he get picked up in the mid-season draft?
Well, he's on-field stuff. There's no question about that. He's good enough for the level. It's just he's off-field, and how would you know? Unless you're close with him, you'd have to do all the background checks, what do you do as a recruiter? You interview him, but he's going to say everything's...
I'm good.
Yeah, I'm good.
I'm feeling.
I think it would need a club with a really strong culture, wouldn't it? Like in that ability to be like, all right, come in, let's give you another chance, but you're going to have to like see it out. And
he's on field stuff. There's no question. He's a level above the SANFL. I've seen some of his highlights. Bloody, how good!
Oh, he can play.
In the state game as well. Very good.
So, right, let's go around. Do you think you get picked up?
Yep.
No.
Yeah, I'll be a no.
All right.
3-1.
Do you think, have you got a favourite to pick him up?
Oh, you hear rumours about Collingwood, but, I think they will. I do think they will.
All right.
Yeah.
Good luck to him. He's a good kid.
Yeah.
Now, are we playing the Bernie Vince Cup this weekend?
Yes, we are. Yes.
Melbourne
it's
B. Crows.
I've got to get my speech ready and
go out there and shake the hand.
Go down and place a few highlights on the screen.
Dad will only want 30 tickets.
Dad will headbutt Triggy again.
Yeah. The Triple M farmer.
Hang on, what?
He didn't, did he?
Nah, I think it was more of a nudge.
A little nudge.
Yeah.
So hang on, we got the junior kid at footy. We got the clipboard over his head, and now we've got the headbutt.
That was an accident.
The headbutt was an accident.
Yeah, well,
for all reports.
It.
Oh well, we were playing.
Well, Dad had this thing with Triggy. He thought he was the reason that I went to Melbourne. So he wasn't really happy
wasn't
with it.
Wasn't you, was
and
it?
And Triggy, what?
It wasn't your fault you went
to Melbourne. No, no. It wasn't anything to do with my behaviour. Anyway, Triggy would rang him all week asking him to, into the, what do they have, the chairman's function or all this stuff. And Dad basically was like, oh, I'll get back to you. And he'd hang up and ring me and go, he can get stuffed. I'm not going there.
Anyway,
he goes, I'll get back to you. Anyway, he had a Melbourne hat on the day. And we
in the chairman's club?
No, no, he didn't go in the chairman's club. He went and drank. He was with Mods. Mods turned into a Melbourne supporter that day. Anyway, it just happened to be the siren had gone. We won by 3 points.
You tagged Dangerfield.
Yeah, and we're coming back. I wasn't there, but Dad was walking along and Triggy was coming the other way and it just happened to happen. It was like a movie. Triggy's there, you going, Tim?
He's going in for the hug.
He just put his head forward, kept going.
Oh, no.
And I thought it was Dad, you know, talking a bit of mayo. And so I ran into Triggy in Melbourne and I asked him, I said, did this happen? Because Dad's got an unbelievable knack of, you know, making a story a lot better than what it was. He goes, there was head contact. There was a Melbourne hat.
No.
And the hat fell on the ground. And I thought, who's he with? I looked over his shoulder and there's Mods with his arms crossed. He thought, well, there's no point in taking this any further.
Mods,
but Dad did grow a leg when Melbourne won. I think he got a little bit more confident.
I think we'll back at the Hackney Hotel that night.
We did go back there, yeah.
I did run into you, I think we might.
I love hearing stories about your dad, though. The first time I had a couple of beers with him randomly was at a wedding in Darwin. And have I told you this one?
I think I've heard this one,
We're randomly having a few and ends up going on for a few hours.
Down the beach, wasn't it?
Watching the sunset there. And then all of a sudden, Timmy's just like, righto. And he's just got up out of his chair and just thrown himself into a bush.
What?
And I was like, what? And we're all sitting there 10 beers in, just like, what has just happened?
He threw himself into the bush.
He's got up. Oh, right. I'm good to go. Yeah. Anyway, let's go again.
He must have dropped his wallet in there or something.
Next night, he's limping around the dance floor at the wedding. I'm like, what happened? Oh, I thought he got scratched by one of the sticks. Anyway, that's right off
of
the bat.
I went fishing with him up there. And we speared the bloke that took us fishing.
No.
That's not
we
you.
Didn't,
that was up
in, was we didn't spear the bloke. All right. You speared the bloke.
Tim was with me. Things always happen when you're with Tim.
Oh, if he's there, just blame him. That's what always happened to me, Ru.
Right, let's move on. We got a bit of audio here from Damien Hardwick.
Look, the truth of the matter is you can play Richmond games here, but they don't come. So if you want big crowds, play our home games at the G. Pretty simple solution for mine.
Any idea why they're not coming? Anyone send you emails on that?
Mate, I hate coming here. Probably shouldn't say that, but...
Why is that?
Well, the MCG has got soul. It's got Richmond people there. Our people don't come here. Plain and simple.
Now, Damien Hardwick, Premiership superstar for Port Adelaide. Can I just say, pull your head in?
Yeah, that's shit.
So, that is what you're going to play. And again, Collingwood, I can accuse of this too. What, we got sets of rules for Collingwood and or Richmond, but everyone else has to conform, do they?
They think they're bigger than the game.
If everyone else gets told to play there, why can't Richmond?
It's a brilliant
I hate hearing
place.
Things like that.
I love playing.
The AFL own that too.
Of course.
And he's just whacked the AFL. He'll get fined for that, surely. Have we heard anything about that?
But do you know, Byrne, over the years, how many times have they had to travel? That's a disgraceful thing for him to say.
They play 15 to 17 games a year at the MCG. They play 11 home games there, and then they get home games for away games because, like, teams like Geelong, well, that play there.
It is disgraceful.
Finals are played there when they're not even meant to be home games.
That's one of the most selfish things I've ever heard a bloke say.
They're starting to lose. They're looking a bit wobbly, Richmond, I reckon. Media was, and off-field. I haven't liked the smell of some stuff
Damien
that's come out of there.
But that's a terrible thing for him to say.
I think he was sort of trying to be funny, but he just didn't come out like that at all.
Didn't execute
What about him sticking up for the Richmond blokes in the fight?
Well, funny you should say that. They're still, and the AFL's still investigating that. Now...
So there's something to it.
I would have thought.
Has to be.
I hope there's not. But, you know, why are they investigating? How long's that? Week and a half?
Coming up 2 weeks.
None of your blues got investigated for that long, Bernie. They were sorted out within 2 days.
Paid them all off.
Rue came in and said, don't worry about this one.
Rue goes, don't worry, I've slipped him a bit.
Except when your own teammates dobbed you in as well. That's another story for another day.
They were good teammates.
Made sure they got a game. Let's move on. Sam McClure has reported that Bucks will sign soon. We'll get another contract with Collingwood.
The pressure clearly has been on Nathan Buckley given the performances of the team, but I sit here tonight quite confident that he'll be coaching Collingwood in 2022.
You think that the moves are afoot to keep him for another season or two?
Yes, I do. I think that Graham Wright, who we know is the new football boss, who's come from Hawthorn as a long-time list manager, has come into the club and seen quite a few problems. One, of course, being the list. Now, Ned Guy, partly responsible for the building of that list, has resigned in recent times. We know that there is probably another challenge afoot at board level with the presidency and what is going on with Jeff Brown and Carolyn Wilson, who usually sits in this seat, wrote quite strongly on the weekend in The Age that he would challenge. I think the view internally at Collingwood is that there is enough going on to destabilise the group and that not much can be placed at the feet of Nathan Buckley. So I think he personally will be extended.
1 year deal. That's very rare in football these days to get 1 year contracts. Like, you know, players getting 1 year contracts. That only happens nowhere near as much as what it used to. The only thing I can think of here is that Clarkson comes out at the end of next year.
What, you reckon they're hanging you're doing a jazz.
No, I'm not, but it doesn't make, they just don't do 1 year contracts.
No, and you never hear that with
they
coaches.
They just don't do it. Why would you give him one more year? I don't think he's done a bad job either, by the way. He should have won a premiership 3 years ago. They've kept DeGoey, Grundy and Moore. They probably didn't think they were going to keep. That's why I reckon they had to move some of the players on. I think he's a pretty good coach, but they're either going to make a decision. Either they sign him for longer or they must be waiting for Clarko. Well,
if you're going to sack someone, you've got to have someone available, don't you? You've got to have – you only sack someone if there's someone that you think's better and at ready. The job that's available. If there's nothing, they must have had a bit of a look around. Everyone's either in contract or
– would you go Lepich or Voss or, you know, one of these untried guys, or do you wait for Clarkson or are you happy with Ross Lyon? I mean, Clarko to Collingwood would just be a massive boost for them,
Does it solve their on-field woes? I don't know.
No, I don't know if it does.
Their list is. I know they've got some injury. Jeremy Howe's a big out for Collingwood.
Yeah. Is it true that the change room is split over the Treloar? Is that where this all started, though, do you think? The rot set in from then? Is that true or not?
I don't think it could have been.
Nah. No.
Like the fact that that could then completely derail a club, I don't see that being the case.
No. No. There has to be something else going on there.
Yeah.
Hmm. All right, Justin Lepich, you mentioned. Apparently, he's been linked to Carlton, so he is on a few clubs' radars. Well,
they're saying they've rang him a few times in the last couple of weeks.
Mm.
But one of them didn't make any sense at all. It was to be the football director of Chris Judd, as if he's going to leave a paid job to go and be a non-paid director. That didn't make any sense.
No.
Mm-hmm. All right.
No. Otherwise, to be an assistant coach.
I want to move on to the Collingwood change room situation. Is this a mountain out of a molehill? An AFL release has come out. Collingwood have released a statement. This is about DeGoey grabbing Quaynor on the bum.
Mm-hmm.
I think it needed to be done in terms of, like, I think the AFL need to make a stand on this sort of stuff.
Really?
It's just the fact that, like, it's in a public position. Players know where the cameras are and all that sort of stuff. Obviously, things happen in the footy club change rooms and there's all that sort of banter, and it's a weird environment, isn't it? Like, when you look at it from externally, it's
40-odd blokes
walking around. Yeah, that's it. It's a weird environment. But in terms of, like, when it's clearly visible on that sort of front...
Or grabbing a bloke on the bum.
No, but it's more...
Well, last year it was the front of the bum. That was... Looked terrible.
Yeah,
that
was right. I hate any of that sort of behaviour, and it happens from time to time. The one little grope from DeGoey, if that was the only thing in isolation, it wouldn't even be a story. I think this is just on the back of the stuff that happened last year and they're trying to get rid of it.
Just a little reminder to the rest of the comp. And that's why it hasn't gone any further. Mm. He's not going to get fined. I think it's just a little reminder to all the clubs, all the players, that that's not on, which is fair. I think it's fair.
Yeah.
Even though it's not much, you know, you see blokes patting each other on the bum all the time, but that was a little bit more than that. So... I think it's fine. Move on.
Evo, good effort today, mate. You're welcome back, by the way. I need you on my side, so if you can make it each and every week for the bump, that'd be handy.
Of course, mate. I'd more than happily come in.
Made a lot of sense compared to the previous man that's...
bring a few bottles of hay.
German or are we talking limo?
Oh, my God.
Jars sits
it. Good on you, boys. We'll do it all again on the bump next week. Enjoy your footy.